I'm Pierre Lumumba here at the Naiposha Gardens in Limuru as we discuss the whole idea of cheap stuff in Africa. You know, when we are looking at items such as mobile phones, whether they be iPhones or they be Samsungs or they be Phantoms or they be Techno, or indeed any other technological device, we always say this is cheap and affordable, yet we do not interrogate the reason why they are cheap and affordable. And it is in this context that we must go down by digging and asking ourselves the fundamental question. Are they affordable because labor is that cheap? Are they affordable because the minerals are that cheap? Are they affordable because the health impact of the styles of mining is debilitating? Are they affordable because the environment is being destroyed? All these things we never talk about. And I think it is important for us in the continent of Africa to begin to interrogate why certain things are seen to be cheap in the continent of Africa. Let us start with what we refer to as technology in the mobile telephony space. It is now acknowledged that the Democratic Republic of Congo produces rare earth, and this rare earth is an essential ingredient in mobile telephony. So that any country that is producing mobile telephones looks to the Democratic Republic of Congo fundamentally because it is cheap. But why is it cheap? It is cheap because labor is exploited. The International Labor Organization, ILO, has gathered evidence which is available in the public domain. And that evidence tells a story. It tells a story of an Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo where children as young as 10, both boys and girls, in excess of 40,000 at any one time, are used as cheap labor in mines by multinational companies. Some of them are mercenary companies, which have been constituted by major mining conglomerates. And what they do is to use this labor which they pay a pittance. And they do this in collaboration with local officials who do not care about the plight of the people. The net effect of this is that we have minerals which are taken away from the countries, which are taken in their ore form and are taken to different parts of the world. And then they are used in mobile telephones, which Africans then import or African countries import. And these are then available to the communities. And we don't ask the fundamental question, what is the impact of these cheap telephones on the environment? If you look at the mining methods that are used in different parts of Africa, whether, as I've already indicated, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where they mine for mobile telephony, we don't ask those questions. Another mineral which is the source of this kind of cheap material, and cheap because the labor is at a pittance, is cobalt. You know, today we are migrating into electric cars, everything electric. We are going into the arena of artificial intelligence. And when we are going into the arena of artificial intelligence, cobalt is indeed the game changer in that regard. Lithium is the game changer in that regard. And if you looked at the mining protocol that are prescribed, it would be very expensive to mine cobalt or mine lithium. So where do foreign companies go and how do they go about it? They go into the Democratic Republic of Congo, they go into Central African Republic, they go into different parts of the continent of Africa, and they use cheap labor. And this cheap labor is young Africans, both boys and girls, who ought to be attending school. And they don't. And they therefore become individuals who are exploited, and they are exploited not only because their lives are destroyed and they are denied the opportunity to acquire knowledge that they will use later in life, but even their health is compromised. So one of the ironies in Africa is that you are getting cheap cobalt, you are getting cheap uranium, and then you are sold these things cheaply, but you do not know that the burden is then transferred. The burden is transferred to your health system, which now has to bear the burden of dealing with these young boys and girls who have been exposed to kind of material which causes ailments. You have been exposed to an environment where young children are not going to school, and because they are not going to school at a certain age, they cannot work in the mines, and because they cannot work in the mines, they are then recruited into these insurgent groups, and therefore it creates insecurity. No wonder, therefore, if you go to the Democratic Republic of Congo and a Central African Republic, you find an army, and I'm using the word army guardedly, a group of organized individuals not under the control of the state who are engaged in these activities, and yet we are claiming that this is cheap without looking at the actual cost and the actual impact. Indeed, if you move away from the Democratic Republic of Congo and look at the kind of insurgencies that you see in the Sahelian region, whether in northern Burkina Faso or in northern Mali or in northern or in Chad or in certain parts of Sudan, you will discover that the reason why this is happening is because multinationals using mercenaries are using the occasion to exploit these fellows because they want these things for the cheap in African mines and African resource bases where control by governments is very limited, and therefore they are able to get material which enable them to make super profits. I also want to talk about the impact of these in another area, the environment. We are talking about climate change. Africa is talking about the quality of soil. And not so long ago in Nairobi, Kenya, African heads of states and government gathered to discuss the quality of African soil. And when you talk about the quality of African soil and you combine that with climate change, then one thing emerges, that you now find yourself in a situation where agricultural produce or production of agricultural products is being undermined, with the consequence that Africa now has to import food. So the question is, do you want to create an environment through illegal mining and improper mining which undermines the quality of your soil so that you can import cheap funds, or you'd rather retain the quality of your soil and ensure that you have the kind of environment which will support this generation and generations yet to be born? And you look at not only that, the pollution of rivers. When you are polluting rivers by allowing effluent to go into the rivers in quite a number of countries now, if you look at the quality of water and the quality of rivers, the water is not potable. And indeed, one of the most important things that Africa must now focus on is the quality of water, whether it's on the waters of the Nile, the waters of the Congo, the waters of the Limpopo, the waters of the Mara in the East African region, the waters in the Chad Basin, the waters in different parts. These waters are being polluted because of improper mining activities, which is also being aggravated by deforestation. We must also remember that young boys and girls are used even in the tapping of rubber in Western Africa, in countries such as Liberia and Sierra Leone. We know that mining is taking place in diamond mines in Sierra Leone, and in countries such as Mauritania, and in areas such as the South Sahrawi, And all these mines are being run by companies outside of the continent of Africa. And yet, even in the face of this information, there is very little that is being done. And if you combine all these factors, you will find that the appetite for acquiring cheap African resources, whether those resources are mineral, whether those resources are timber, whether those resources are rubber, whether those resources are oil, as we know of the case of the Ogoni in Nigeria. Many of us will remember the great Nigerian Ken Saro-Wiwa. When Ken Saro-Wiwa was alive, he became famous in the world because he came out and questioned the mining practices of Shell in Nigeria in the Delta region. And one need only to travel to the Delta region and see the manner in which the soils in that part of the world have been destroyed and how young people got themselves into that arena, with the consequence that it will take generations for those soils to recover, if at all. We'll also remember that outside of that, in the fields of Gabon, what companies such as Elf from France did in those spaces, and how that has affected that country in a fundamental way. And this can go on and on. Even right now, you find migrant workers who are being used in South Africa, migrant workers from Malawi, migrant workers from Lesotho, who are being exploited by companies which are known, such as De Beers. And these are companies that are making super profits, and they are trading in foreign markets to the detriment of the continent of Africa. It is therefore critical that African countries ask themselves, is cheap really cheap? When we are importing goods, whether those goods are technologically based, such as mobile telephones, or whether we are importing computers or importing batteries for electric motorcycles and electric cars, we must remember that the material that is being used in those are materials that are obtained from the continent of Africa, and that the extraction of those materials have led to the destruction of the lives of young boys and girls. It has led to the destruction of our soils. It has led to the destruction of our water. It has led to the destruction of our environment. It has led to the destruction of people's livelihoods, and that therefore it is not cheap, it is very expensive. It is time now that African countries must recognize that in order to create an enabling environment that does not allow for exploitation, that we need legislation. This legislation, in the nature of things, will be country specific, but in order to ensure that there is no manipulation, they should also be regionally sensitive and continentally sensitive, so that one does not go to Zambia and think that they can exploit Zambia because Malawi has made the situation difficult. So this is the time when coordination is very critical. And in my view, it comes at a time when Africa is beginning to talk about continental collaboration in the areas of industry, talking about continental coordination in the areas of agriculture, talking about continental coordination in the areas of climate change, talking about value addition to all products, whether they are minerals, whether they are from agriculture. And this, in my view, is what is going to save Africa from exploitation, so that Africa begins to question. When they are told things are cheap, they are able to ask the second generation question, why are they cheap? Are they cheap because we have been burdened by future problems such as climate, such as quality of water, such as quality of environment, such as quality of air, such as quality of the men and women whom we have destroyed in the process of exploitation as child labor? These are critical issues, because history and experience and evidence now says that African countries have been exploited through mining through exploitation of our resources, and this is undesirable going forward. And once again, unity of purpose amongst African countries is going to be the game changer and the bulwark against these rabid and cancerous exploiters. Thank you very much, and goodbye here from Naiposha Gardens in Limuru in the Republic of Kenya. We continue our conversation about the continent of Africa.